Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beginning with Jeremiah, we can say it finally happened. After decades and even centuries of warning, the city of peace, Jerusalem in Judah, was conquered and destroyed by the northern country of Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon. Israel had already been scattered by the Assyrians long before, and now the prophet Jeremiah had a real reason to weep, earning him the title of the weeping prophet. Jeremiah wept over the city of David, destroyed and emptied the people of God, taken into captivity. Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and so it was his duty to report the word of God that he was inspired to deliver. But I'm sure the temptation must have been great to deliver a message from himself that sounded more like this. I told you so. I told you, I had been telling you for a long time, but would anyone listen to me? Oh no, you went right on, didn't you? And I was right, and you were wrong, and now look at you. This is what you get. Next time I tell you something's going to happen, you'd better listen, because I don't joke around, but I guess you all know better than me. But this is not Jeremiah's message. The message is not really his, of course. His message is, thus saith the Lord. And what does the Lord say to Israel, even at this time of comeuppance? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. The people of God were scattered in the time of tumult. There was hope that the promises of God will always remain and hold fast in one way or another. The hope that though they had been unfaithful, God would remain faithful, and he was. God pursued Israel until she was found, and she was humbled, and she was a remnant, but she was found, and soon it would be Israel's turn to join God in his pursuit. Once they were pursued and rejoiced to have been found, then they were to pursue and rejoice to find. By Jesus' time, the Jews had been out of Babylonian captivity for centuries, and though they had been humbled from the heyday of King David, they knew they were still God's chosen people. They were the apple of God's eye. But when Jesus came, their role was to have come to its maturity. The pursued were to become the pursuers. The plan of God was to unfold. God, who had redeemed his people and returned a remnant of them to their promised land out of bondage, was now to use them to return the whole human race from its bondage. It was not the remnant of Israel that was sought now. It would be the remnant of the entire human race. The Jews had been scattered and then gathered again, and now in Christ it was time that the human race, which had been scattered, would be gathered together again. The lost would be found in Christ. This was a message that was difficult to understand, and so Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and scribes about it often and in many different formats. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, prodigal son parable, healings on the Sabbath, the mingling with the Gentiles, his speech about it is not the well who need a physician but the sick, the overturning of the tables in the temple which were preventing Gentiles from knowing the house of prayer that the temple was to be. All of these messages in many different forms and fashions was delivered to those people of God. And there are at least two messages in all these actions of Jesus dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles. And especially poignant are these parables of Luke chapter 15. And they are, in so many ways, just perfect, perfect parables. And in each of these parables, there are at least two messages. And the first message is comforting indeed. The first message is the rejoicing that the lost sheep is you. When you are in Christ, you are a lost sheep that was pursued until found. And you are the precious coin for which the house was swept clean and a party is thrown when you are retrieved. You are the son that was lost and is found, the prodigal. There's a banquet for you. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. The words of Jesus have been about you. And that's the first message. And for some, that's where we should stop right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the end of a first sermon. If you have yet to repent and come to Christ, that was it. But there's a second sermon in each of these parables. A second message for those who are found, very similar to the one that was to be heard by the Jews who had been found and returned to Jerusalem. That this is not the end of your journey, not the end of your conversion, to have been the one who was sought. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, but I'll remind you that in 2016, there was a short 15-minute documentary that was released by a Swedish filmmaker. It has no dialogue, it has no script, and it's simply called 10 Meter Tower. I don't remember if you remember me talking about this before, but it's an Olympic diving pool on a day when there's a public swim, and the highest tower is open, 10 meters, 32 feet high. There's no interviews, no dialogue. For most of it, there's one static camera aimed at the tower, and the drama unfolds naturally as normal people struggle to gather the courage to jump off of a 10-meter tower into a deep pool. One little girl jumps off very easily, doesn't think about it at all. Several grown men stare over the edge for a long time and give up and climb back down the ladder. One 70-year-old woman falters in her courage and says out loud to herself in Swedish, "No, I don't have the guts." And stops herself as she's climbing down the ladder, changes her mind, comes back up, and jumps off the tower and succeeds. Muscular, tattooed men chicken out. Couples argue on the platform for several minutes and even plan to see each other in heaven if they die. As a viewer, you find yourself really in the comfort of your home, really rooting for people from all walks of life to gather the courage. And you say to yourself and to them, "You can do it. You can do it. Don't be scared." And as you feel this, you begin to sense the role of the mature Christian. Concern for self disappears and is replaced with concern for others. And at the heart of it is to turn from self to the one who is yet to make the decision, who is yet to take a step. It's a role of prayer and encouragement and earnest desire for the good of another. For once you are the one that others watched carefully, being guided towards Christ from lost to found, and now it is your turn to watch carefully those who are yet hesitating in their response to God. There's one long scene in which two young men are interacting on the platform together, arguing about whether they have the courage and who will go first. And one finally jumps and the other one remains on the platform, now really feeling the pressure because his friend had done it. And the one who had the courage climbs all the way back up the ladder to the top, and you get to see them interact now. The one standing there sopping wet next to the other, trying to encourage him. And you find that interest of the unfolding story is only with the one who has not yet summoned the courage. You've lost interest as a viewer in the one who's sopping wet because he already did it. And now the attention is on the other, as both you, the viewer, and the person sopping wet are both encouraging and are only interested in that one who is yet to take that step. The drama does not start over again for the one who's sopping wet. His role is now that of the encourager. He's felt the rush of commitment, taken the step of faith. The story has moved from him to the one who is yet to commit. The people of God had been sought and had been found. They had been redeemed and brought back to the promised land. They knew God and were known by him. It was time for them to join God in his work. It was time for them to be pursuers of the lost rather than the pursued. It was time for them to be encouragers and join the angelic realm that rejoices over the conversion of one more than 99 who do not need repentance. And that's the second message. It's the same story. This is the story now, not of the lost, but of the found. When the lost are found, they're to join the search party. The hoping, the praying, the cheering, the encouragement, the urging, the beseeching for those who are yet to commit is now your task. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one that repents than over 99 who need no repentance. Some have read this story and discerned that the nature of the Christian life then is to continue messing up and wandering away and starting over. That way there can be more rejoicing over you than anyone else for the rest of your life. And all you have to do is keep starting over again and again, repeating your story ad infinitum. If you have this idea about the Christian life, let me help you to change that idea. We are to become a part of the heavenly chorus. We are to become the person who stands below looking up at the 10-meter tower cheering for those whose courage is not yet strong. We're to become the new Jeremiahs who are not prepared to give a great I told you so speech when harm comes to those who have not turned to Christ, but who are willing instead to exhort and encourage, even prophesy and sometimes weep when the lost refuse to be found. There is much rejoicing in heaven over the sinner who repents. And who is rejoicing in the heavenly host? And one day from within the heavenly host, you. There's only one place for us to be, and that is within the chorus of the faithful, not climbing the ladder start all over again. As your life is ever more found to be in Christ, and the life of Christ is ever more to be found in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life, converted to his, is the lost that is found. If you've not been found, you should know that you are sought after. But if you have been found, join the search team. Join the heavenly host. Join the choir. Even literally, join the choir. Pray to God for the prodigal to come home, labor for the coin to be found, long for the shepherd to find the lost sheep, and for the lost of this world to respond with fortitude and faith to take those brave steps to come home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.